Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. This really is the one.
It is.
It's not too crazy. It's not too long. It gives you a little dose of optimism, a little guidance in your life, a little something you can put on, rely on, and if you can only smell the bread that's baking around us. Technology will get there. Hope you're doing well. If you're in the New York area, I'm coming to Gotham Comedy Club this Friday and this Saturday, my annual holiday shows in New York at Gotham Comedy. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Saturday might be sold out or at least close. I'm not sure. Either way, I'll be there for all four shows. Come and see it. Then that Monday at the Village Underground, we have the Come to Papa Live holiday show with Lenny Marcus and Holly Laurent and Mateo Lane. It's going to be a grand old time. And that's going to be it for the tour for the rest of the year. I'm going to go do Live From Here again in New York at Town Hall, which is a lot of fun, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But that's going to be pretty much the end of it. I'm sure you have some dates coming up in
towards the end. This is my killer week. I'm just doing all like corporate and private stuff, but I'm in Salt Lake City, Minneapolis, Denver, and Portland Wednesday through Saturday. So it's kind of like our schedule
Another
that
run.
One week every day.
Yeah, and then we'll get to. Then I've got to see a kid's Nutcracker performance, and then I'll have one more Live From Here, and then that'll be closest into the holidays.
Nice.
Take a couple.
You ready for this winter or what? You're gonna be in it.
I've already been in it. I just got back from it.
Oh, that's
right. I went to winter, and it was scary.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's like, oh, man, I could put on boots and a big, thick pea coat and a hat. I was like, I like this. And then I'm coming home late after I did Live From Here at Town Hall.
Oh, great.
And then went down to the cellar to do some shows. And late night, I'm walking back to my hotel, and the wind was whipping up. And under my hat, my ears were like, hey, you forgot about us for winter. I was like, oh, yeah, when it gets really harsh, it's harsh. But right now, come on, New York City, the lights are up. The place is bustling. People are traveling into town. The locals are jamming. It's just, you know, it's prime time right now.
Yeah.
It's really
No, for
great.
Your shows, it's great. But, like, if you were just a guy working at the warehouse and you have to move your car every 2 hours. And
it's not easy. But you know what? I got to say, look. I don't like complaining about many things, about like your everyday life stuff, but I don't really mind the winter. I don't mind that cold until traditionally I would get to like February, March, and it's when you have like a month straight of it and it's beating you down and it's just gray and bleak and there's no holidays around and it's just, I would get a little depressed around there. But not, that wouldn't be enough for me to not live there again. You know what I mean? Like any of the complaints people have about New York, oh, it's crowded, oh, it's too busy, oh, it's too hot in the summer, all those things. The benefits that you get from just seeing all those people and all the excitement and the rush of being there, it's just all of that outweighs whatever those minor complaints are.
Yeah, if you can make it work, that's the whole thing. People try to hang in there. It's same with San Francisco. I was in San Francisco this weekend, and it's like, you know, met a bunch of people that moved to San Francisco from Cincinnati, and they're trying to make it work, and they got three roommates each, and they all have, like, graphic designer jobs, and they're still trying to, like, hang in there.
Yeah.
and make the city work for them, even though the rent is like...
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And I will be back. I'll have an address there again, I'm sure. But anyway, it was a lot of fun, and I'll be heading back there to do a couple more Live From Heres in these big New York shows. So come on out if you're within striking distance. Come do it. I was on Joe Rogan yesterday. I did Rogan's podcast.
Yes.
Which was a lot of fun.
We heard about it.
And then I got attacked. Did you see how we got attacked?
Yeah. I was going to give you a preview of that because I didn't know if you knew how big that fight was.
Well, I didn't know how big the fight was. Okay, here's the backstory.
I didn't even. I did all my research like the week before.
Here's the backstory. There was a big fight with this guy, Tyson something, and this other guy. And my buddy, Matt Beamonte, who's a good friend of mine, who is a boxing trainer, had posted online that he got up. That he couldn't believe that this guy Tyson gets knocked out in the 12th round,
right.
And he gets up against all odds and actually wins the rest of the round, and the fight's a draw at the end.
And he actually won the fight, too.
No, I think the fight was a draw.
It was, but...
Oh, but he won, right?
That's everyone...
is saying
it could have been a riot.
So... So that's all I know is that and then they asked him and they interviewed him, and my friend Matt posted this. All my news came from my buddy Matt. Was he fought for mental health? How were you able to get up off the canvas? And he said because of he thought of all the people suffering from mental health issues, and it gave him enough strength to get up and continue fighting.
Right.
So I met Rogan yesterday, and we're about to go on the air, and Rogan says. Something about the fight to Jamie says something about the fight. And I said, the mental health guy. And Rogan laughed and said, yeah, he says, do you know the fight? And I'm like, no, I just know he's the mental health guy. It got him up off the canvas. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hold on, let's just start the podcast. So he starts the podcast and he's like, so tell me what you said just now. And I said, I saw the guy get up off the canvas, the mental health guy. And he's like, isn't that so funny how the media like fragments people and like you only know him as the mental health guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, he's the mental health guy. He got up and people, these morons listening, and maybe they're not morons. Maybe I didn't articulate it correctly. They thought we were calling him mentally challenged.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, even if I was insulting him, like an insult.
You weren't insulting
him. I wasn't insulting.
You didn't say anything.
I mean, come on.
All you said was mental health. It's just you
mental
bringing
health
up.
Guy. And I said mental health guy. He's a mental health guy. He's. Mm-hmm. It's like saying Elon's the electric car guy.
Right.
Or saying Neil deGrasse Tyson is the space guy.
Yeah.
That's all it
is. It's just a hot button word that people like to
jump on. They went crazy.
Yeah.
I'm driving home, like, 3.5-hour podcast, feeling great.
Mm-hmm.
We're drinking wine the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a nice...
Well, that's the thing. It was before he got drunk, so you couldn't...
It was way before I got drunk. We didn't even open the bottle yet. And I'm cruising home, like, oh, that was fun. And I always like to check Twitter because he's got millions of followers.
Yeah.
It's always fun to see your Twitter feed light up. And people are just... You're an awful human being. You're not funny. You're terrible. You're a cancer. I mean, like a shitstorm.
Yeah.
And I am sorry, but I take it very personally. I don't like...
Well, that's...
I'm not built for the internet rage world. I'm really not. And maybe because it happens so infrequently in my career... In the few moments when people have turned on me,
yeah,
like I did a joke about pit bulls once on Jay Leno,
all right,
and they all came after me. I get very upset by it.
Yeah,
it doesn't roll off my back. Like if you're Bill Burr or if you're or probably Rogan has to deal with this stuff all the time. I'm sure.
Well, the Elon Musk thing is still going from when. That, you know, he smoked a joint on there and everyone's still all over him. That was a huge deal.
It's so crazy. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's like when I was doing the marriage ref. It was like there was a huge light shining on me at that time. And you realize when you do have a lot of attention, it doesn't just bring goodness. It brings a lot of evil.
Right.
And even doing something as, excuse me, as tame as a show about marriage, mm-hmm. you get people that are just like, I hope you die of AIDS.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't stand you. And I really had questioned at that time, like, look, that only happens when you're famous. That
Super
only happens.
Famous, yeah.
It only happens when you're famous or having a moment of fame, I would say. I wouldn't mm-hmm. say I was famous. I would say having a moment of fame. And it really made me think, like, is it worth it?
You right.
know what I mean? Like, people get on Amy Schumer, right, about being affected by fame or, like, you know, making comments or whatever. You don't really, you really have to take pause and understand that this was just a club comic. She was just a person hanging out at the Cellar, doing what she does, trying to do her thing. And now she has a level of fame that is off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, without her trying to stir the pot, there are people sending death threats,
oh, yeah.
wishing bad stuff on her family, saying horrible things about her appearance. I mean, any horrible thing you could possibly think of to do to her
yeah.
is on her feed every day.
Right.
That's an intense thing.
Well, it's a
really intense
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, there's people that are like polarizing because of their success. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know if I told you this. I had like a flip-flop on Guy Fieri, you know, like how he's always the punchline
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff. And he just wrote, you know, same thing. Like, he's super successful, but people just tell him he's a piece of crap, like right to his face.
Yeah.
And horrible things. He's like, just remember, I'm a man with a family and a wife.
There's
and I love
that.
What I'm doing. And so I try to, you know, even he was the type of guy, like, it's not worth all this criticism.
I know. It really isn't. It really isn't. And it's like, you have to just say, I'm not going to engage. But I, in this regard, I was like, I don't want this boxer to think that we were saying anything. I mean, first of all, if you know Joe and myself,
yeah.
you know we're not the people.
Well, I'll explain that boxer guy for you, but
wait,
like,
but hold on. But you, yeah, we yeah. would never, we would never, we would never say anything about anybody's mental health. I mean, come on, we're so far from those people. But because there was another person involved, I wanted to make it clear, like mm-hmm. this is, you know. So what I'm trying to say is, I rather than just not look at it, I looked at it. All
right.
night long.
Oh, shoot.
And I was like in there, like, I was responding to people and saying, no, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's the part. Yeah, it's tough to like let it go. But you also have to remember, that's literally probably the biggest single thing you can do, TV show, radio show.
No, it's much bigger.
Right now. If you did The Tonight Show, it's more people saw you yesterday.
It's three times the size of The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
Or four. I mean, it's huge. It's gigantic.
Any TV show.
So, look, I know that there are people that just love to take the stuffing out, and, you know, Joe said that, but I just, you know, I don't like it. I don't like when, you know, and people have come out and said things that were wrong about what I said, and I don't regard it. The reason why this one bugged me was I didn't want this twisted to, like, have this boxer think that we're saying that stuff, you know, because I just didn't want him to be
right.
Have any kind of feeling that, you know.
No, he's been on the show. He knows Joe.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. And he made a big statement for mental health issues, and that's what yeah. we thought we were saying by saying he's the mental health guy. That's what his cause was. And to think that saying he's the mental health guy is in any way slamming him or saying it,
yeah.
it really shows how out of touch people are, and it just shows how things can ignite.
Well, the context of it, they just listen to a word is said
yeah.
and then they react to it instead of
yeah.
But also, you got to remember the YouTube people, they're watching it live and then they're just like typing, that's dumb, or this guy's hair is stupid, or they're just reacting to anything that you're saying.
I don't look at any comments on YouTube. Some guy
yeah.
said something like, well, screw you, that's not how it came off. Check the YouTube comments. I was like, are you high?
Yeah.
There's no, I don't check YouTube comments for my stand-up. I don't.
Yeah.
I do not check. It's not my business. It's not
right.
supposed to be part of that. But man, oh man, it was definitely upsetting. I don't
yeah.
like it. I don't like I don't like being called out for being cruel to other people.
Yeah.
It's so like the opposite of how you know, if you listen to this podcast, you know our whole agenda is that people should be kind and enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
And then to be like, no, you're one of the people. Oh, get out of my face.
Well, they're so used to having people that are trying to stir it up that I think that's, you know, yes, not most point. Of the audience, but a lot of that audience, that's what they're
good
kind
point.
Of.
When Jordan Peterson goes on there or, you know, some other controversial guy and has real strong opinions, you know, those guys are built for it, I guess. They, you know, they, I don't know if they are built for it, but they're definitely more prepared for it than I am. You know, if you're a guy that goes out and does controversial
stances
on things, like a political talking head,
a panelist.
Yeah, you obviously know it. And the times that it has happened, like when I've told this story before, but when I went on Opie and Anthony in the morning, I don't know if it was just Opie at the time or what it was, and then I went on Larry Wilmore's show on Comedy Central in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally, because of what I said on each of the shows, the morning audience thought I was liberal, and the nighttime audience thought I loved Trump. And in one day, I was attacked from both sides for being a liberal sissy man and a white supremacist Trump guy. It was like, there's no winning. There's literally no winning. So anyway, what's the boxing guy's name?
Tyson Fury.
Who, I'll tell you what I know and you fill in the blanks.
Okay.
He was a, he beat the Russian.
Klitschko.
Klitschko, who'd never been beaten before or hardly ever. And he took his title after it got very depressed. He was one of those, like, achieved everything and got depressed.
Yeah.
Almost killed himself in a Ferrari going towards a bridge. He was going to end it, decided not to. Gained a bunch of weight, lost a bunch of weight, gets back into boxing, and then had a big fight on Saturday.
Well, yeah, the thing is, like, he's the interesting thing, he's the Gypsy King, that's what they call him, and that's what, I think you missed it when Joe said it, he's a traveler, which is, you know, they're Gypsy, like, Irish descent people who will just show up in towns. Like, remember that TV show with Eddie Izzard where they'll just, like, do work? You know, they'll say they're fumigating or whatever, and they'll end up stealing stuff, and they'll, like...
like real gypsies.
Yeah. Right? And so he kind of is prideful about that because he's actually Irish and British, I think.
Careful, Paul. You're going to get in trouble.
No, but that's what his nickname is, the Gypsy King. And so he was this young guy, but the crazy thing is he's 6'9".
Yeah, he's a
which
monster.
Is a monstrous, like, almost the second tallest heavyweight of all time.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like a nobody, pretty young, like 25-ish, 26, and boxes a Klitschko, who was the heavyweight champ, and boxing wasn't getting that much publicity.
Right.
And I think they fought in Germany, and he's an actual, like, good boxer. Like, he's 6'9", has regular guys' coordination,
right,
and can just, like, duck and move a little bit and just punch people and win in points. So he beat Klitschko, like, in points.
Right.
And became heavyweight champion of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming from this background, he just went nuts. Like, success doesn't, you know, like Mike Tyson, like, people always spiral out of control.
Right, that's way too much.
So that's what he did. He started partying, started, you know, tested positive for cocaine. All this stuff got super, went off on the deep end. And basically, because he beat the heavyweight champ, he had to promise him a rematch, Klitschko.
Mm-hmm.
But through the belts, they had to give the first contender the first match.
Okay.
So no matter what, he was screwed. So he lost his title because he
tied this
didn't.
Guy?
Yeah, and then he was supposed to.
And this was his first fight back?
Yeah, yeah. So he was supposed to fight Klitschko, canceled it twice because of all these problems. Then they just said he was just partying. So I think he got up to 400 pounds. He hasn't fought in almost 3 years.
Wow.
So he's 6'9", almost got up to 400 pounds, and then was depressed, like you said, suicidal, And then this guy, there's a 25-year-old kid that is like basically a trainer, not even a boxing trainer, but just a kid is like, hey, I want to get you in shape. So right. gets him in shape. He loses 100, like I think he got down to 270.
Right.
And was in shape. Everyone wrote him off. Nobody thought he was going to be able to fight. And so the undefeated champion is Wilder. Like, Fury still hasn't lost. So both guys are undefeated.
Wow.
Fury's 6'9". Wilder is 6'7".
Wow.
So it's like the tallest fight in the history of boxing.
Like Superman.
And they're both undefeated. And that shows you where boxing is. Like, nobody really knew about it, except it was in L.A., and Fury ended up moving to L.A. and training at Manny Pacquiao's gym uh-huh. with Freddie Roach, this legendary guy. And there, all of a sudden, everyone's like, wow, he's in shape. This yeah. is going to be a real fight.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Good Lord. Well, very exciting. God bless him. I hope he comes back and wins. And, man, sorry. I think my fight was harder than his.
But yeah, so the big thing was like he outboxed this Wilder guy after not fighting for 3 years, and then Wilder is just this big, huge puncher and knocks him down in the ninth, I think. He gets up, but then there's still like he can win in points. And then in the 12th round with like a minute and a half to go, this Wilder, I mean, hits him, knocks him out, like head hits the canvas.
Yeah.
Everybody in the whole place is like, it's over.
Yeah.
And you can see him close his eyes when they're at like five count. And you're just like, there's no way he's getting up.
Yeah.
And he gets up in like 1 second. and this big, huge guy, 6'9". And the referee, to his credit, you know, usually they're like, hey, it's over, it's over. He's like, hey, do you want to continue?
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, and then he wins, like, the rest of the round.
Amazing.
And so everyone was like, well, he's going to win in points. And then it ended up being a draw, which never happens in boxing.
Yeah.
They have to have a split decision, and the guy in the middle has to have a tie.
Yeah.
Which, it's crazy. So there was like 8,000 British people that are all cheering him on.
Right.
There could have been a riot if he said, this is BS.
Yeah.
I want to tie. But he was super, like, congratulatory. Like, hey, this is a great fight. Thanks for welcoming me back. Like right. Joe said, he donated $8
million. He got $8 million for the fight and donated every penny of it.
So he's, like, super. But if you listen to him, if you watch any, like, he was singing American Pie during the post-press conference, and he's just a card. The guy's, and he said a million crazy things, too. Like, he's gotten in a ton of trouble because he, you know, transgender stuff. Like, this was when he was, like, partying and everything like that.
Right.
So his big thing now is, like, God bless everybody. God bless me. God bless, you know.
That's great.
So,
well, I would just like to say on behalf of the American Boxing Association, if there is such a thing, that we want to put this to bed and wish everybody well.
Well, yeah, to him personally, I'm sure he would be like, no offense, Tom.
No, he wouldn't.
I'm fine.
No, and look, his whole issue is mental health. He said, that's why I got up.
Yeah.
I thought about all the people with mental health issues. That's why I got up. That was right. The only thing I knew.
Yeah.
That was all I knew about the guy. I didn't know any of this until yesterday. I just knew from my friend Matt's Instagram that he got up heroically and it was doing it for the mental health community. That's all I knew.
So, yeah.
Like I was calling him retarded or
right,
something.
Right.
Come on. Get out of here.
No,
get
but I'm sure if he actually even heard about it, he would have just said something to Rogan. Like, you know what I mean?
Because
he
was Rogan or pal.
He's been on the show and
so silly.
Knows the whole story. So
I've got bigger problems. You want to hear what they are?
Oh, they are?
Yeah. So you know I have the train set under the Christmas tree.
Right.
And the village is looking great.
Okay.
The village is good. There are two problems. One, there is a skating rink, which is great in the daytime. It looks like a skating rink. It's got snow around the sides. It has little skaters that magnetically connect to the top of the ice. And they all, there's like four of them, and they skate around in these different patterns. It looks great.
Mm-hmm.
But at night, there's no light on the pond. Do you know of any kind of light I could put like in the tree that would shine down like a spotlight onto something below?
Hmm.
I was thinking, like, is there like a pen light or like some kind of light that like has a like a wiry kind of handle that I could tie to the bottom branch of the tree and have it shine like that?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Where would I get that?
Isn't there those train stores? I would talk to Billy Gardell.
Gardell is really into that, right?
Him and the camera guy from the TV show, that Shimada guy. He was like one of the camera guys, but him and Billy Gardell are like really into trains. So he's like, yeah, I go over there all the time.
But this isn't really a train problem. It's kind of like
I think it's a little, you know, because when you're building those towns, everyone needs to figure out how to get lights on there and stuff like that.
Right.
I'm sure there's like a store. You don't think there's
There's the Train Shack here in Burbank.
Okay.
And I love that place. And I haven't gone over yet. My second problem is going to bring me over there.
All right.
Which maybe I'll go today. I love going there, by the way.
So you have more toy problems?
When I have the moment this time of year, and when I can like get a moment on like a Wednesday morning at like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock to go over to the train shop and spend time in the train shop looking for stuff for my village, that's when I'm grateful that I'm a comedian.
Right.
I'm just like, look at the choice I made, that I'm able to screw around with trains as a grown man.
But it's not enough? What are you going to tell me here? Don't tell me you bought a drone.
What?
You said you had more toy problems.
Oh, the other problem is there's a house in the west part of town of my village that is having lighting issues. And we got this one. It's purple. It's always had kind of problems. It's just trouble. And for the first time ever, we're gonna have a vote in the town.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna put a what do they call it? A ballot initiative. We're gonna vote whether or not these people should leave.
Okay.
We might be replacing their home with someone else's home that's nicer and more lit up. And look, we're not a fan of gentrification either. We don't feel like every poor person should be kicked out of town.
Right.
You know, we like things being nicer, but not at the expense of the little guy. But the family that lives in this purple house at the ass end of town, I hate to say it, but I'm campaigning that they got to go.
Because of the color of the house? Was it Prince's house?
I'm not saying it's necessarily because it's the color of the house. It's that it doesn't light up. When everything's lit up at night, they're just sitting in darkness.
They're poor?
I think they're poor.
They can't go solar?
Yeah, I think they're poor.
Why don't you tell them they won the lottery and then the rest of the town will stone them?
Even when I got the lights on in there, they only had like one or two lights in there.
Oh.
So I think they're like weird. I think they probably have some kind of marital problems.
Are they cooking meth in there, you think?
It might be. There might be a kid that's like cooking meth in the basement and the parents don't really care because they're just dealing with their issues. Whatever it is, it's not good for the village.
It's like an old Chevette on the front lawn.
Yeah, it's dirty. I mean, that would be a fun way to go. I could do that. Just make it poor.
Make them the white trash.
Yeah, like put like a car seat on the front porch.
Double wide trailer.
A mangy dog. Maybe some people yelling out on the porch.
A trampoline.
That actually is fun, but it doesn't look great.
Cousin Eddie.
If it had a lot of lights, I would keep them. But I might be taking a trip to the train shack and seeing if I can't...
on your scooter?
Jazz it up. You're the scooter guy.
I don't know. You're really into toys.
This isn't toys. I did have a moment because I'm setting it up. Now, look, I've started this thing 16 years ago when the kids were little. And it's every year it grows, it gets bigger, and it becomes this thing. But at the same time, the kids are getting bigger. And they love it. They love seeing it, but they don't really participate in the setting up of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had a moment, like, when they're gone, when they head off to school and I'm setting this thing up, I see now why the guy in the neighborhood is like, I've got to get kids from the town. Anyone have their children want to come right. see the village? Like Billy Gardell, I'm sure, is like into it, but it was as kids get older, he's going to want kids from the school to come take a look. Like, you have to recruit young children in your life.
This is your Boney Island.
This is my Boney Island, exactly. Which nowadays is probably creepy to go over to your neighbors and be like, does your child want to come over and play?
They finally moved it. It was the Halloween guy that used to, you know, wasn't he a movie guy or something? It was basically like a movie.
I think he was a Simpsons guy.
Universal level, like all kinds of like animatronics. And
this is Halloween, though.
Yeah. And they moved it to Griffith Park or the zoo or something.
Oh, wow.
Because I think his neighbors got...
Yeah, the neighbors didn't like it. I understand that.
So that's what this is going to be. Tom's going to end up having like a life-size train running around the backyard, and he's going to tell the kids to come over. He's going to have his hat on.
I'm telling you, I see why it happens. You spend... you come over at night, the fireplace is on, you just sit in front of the tree, have the train go around, the smoke's coming out of the smokestack, you hear it go off into the distance under a tunnel, and you hear... And you hear like that distant horn, and the train comes back around. It takes you to another place.
Well, that's what I mean, but you already go to other places. I would understand if you were a guy that, like, I wish I had a train in real life that I could go somewhere.
Yeah, but...
But you do.
Yeah, but where am I going? I'm going to real cities filled with banditos and drug addicts and pistoles.
You can take a train somewhere.
I could do all of that. It's expensive. It's annoying. This is idyllic. I mean, there's... everyone's nice in this village. There's a little there's a little car. There's some animals just mingling around. There's even some bears trying to break into one of the homes. It's a fun spot.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in my living room in my robe.
Yeah, it sounds like one of those children's shows. What was the one with George Carlin was on where he was like the life-size conductor?
Thomas the Tank. What's a real good thing is to move into at this time of year is... if you haven't done anything all day, all night, and you're sober after dinner, and you're, I don't even like doing it if you had a little wine during the meal, but if you're just late-ish night scotch sitting there by the tree, that's a good moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any tree? Are you putting anything up in the apartment?
I don't think so, because I'm going to go to Florida at some point. I don't know how early, but... Yeah, having...
How about lights? Just a couple of lights thrown up on the window.
I don't think so.
So you go to your place, it could be July.
Pretty much.
Come on, you need a little something.
I'll be in the snow this week. That's going to be enough.
Yeah, that is nice. That is the one nice thing about traveling right now.
I'll be in Minneapolis and Denver. It's going to be... There's going to be snow in both of those places. And I think
everything's decorated right now.
In Portland, I'm going to be on a boat. I'm going to be like on some like dinner cruise thing.
Oh boy.
It's probably going to be freezing, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's 3 days is going to be enough for me. And I'm going to be like, I'm waiting until I get to Florida.
Go to Florida for Christmas.
See some Christmas lights.
I'm excited to be in New York because when the kids were little, like we used to say that we're going to Christmas. Like we're here in LA, it was like whatever, but then back there we're family in New York and all the rest of us, but the kids were like, we're going to Christmas, like they had to take a flight to get there.
Oh,
so we're doing that again this year, which
yeah, I was gonna say you're there, you're basically, I mean, you just came back for a couple of days, right? So far,
yeah, I'm only here for a couple of days and back in New York, and then yeah, I'm spending a lot of time in New York this month, which is very enjoyable. And the next part after this weekend, it'll be with the family.
Right.
We'll go in. So I'll be here, see the Nutcracker. Then it's all family. Like, even though I'm working, it'll be with everybody, which will be cool. Because, you know, when you look at the family, everyone's great, but I'm the most fun. So, you know, it'll just be good for everybody to have me around.
But you don't, are you guys going to have your own place, or is it like a...
Yeah, because we're going to see family, so we'll have our own place for...
Like, that's good.
For a bunch, like 5 days or something. I'll tell you why I'm the most fun, because I'll tell you, when I look down here at my desk, at my to-do list, I guarantee you that nobody in the family has sticky buns written down on their to-do list. Everyone else is just drifting around, doing what they're doing, going to rehearsals, going to class, just living their lives. It's up to me to make sticky buns appear at the house, and that's what I'm doing.
Is that a breakfast thing?
That's kind of the trick. It is a breakfast thing. People love them for breakfast. I have to see about making the dough the night before and being able to like put them all together and let them rise, maybe in the fridge like I do my bread.
Because
in the morning you want to pop them in and have that smell and that thing kind of hit the house. So I'm going to try make the dough today. It's great. They're easy to kind of make. You make this big dough. You roll it in a ball. It's filled with cinnamon and butter, and you roll it up, slice it, so it has that swirl in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you put them in these little metal trays that are filled on the bottom with the sugary glaze.
Right, that's the key.
And then you put them in on top of that, and then you bake, and then you put them in the refrigerator and let them proof overnight.
Yeah.
I hope this works overnight. And then you let them proof. They double in size, basically. And then you take that tray, put it in the oven, cook it up. And when you take them out, you flip it over. That bottom with all the goop on it in the bottom, that's your top.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's like better than any donut to me.
Yeah.
Just the solid swirl.
Yeah, so I'm going to see about knocking that out tonight when I get back from my show.
But I was trying to see, who's this Ron Reike who made the... He made a chocolate sourdough rye.
Oh, he was...
on Twitter. He posted it.
On the Twitter feed?
And I said, that looks great. And he said, I know that you have a limited palate, Paul. And he did the thing that I told you. He replaced... I think this should be in all recipes. You replace raisins with chocolate in any recipe. That's my rule. So remember when you're like, I put raisins in it. This guy put chocolate in it, in the sourdough. I don't know if rye would be. Rye and chocolate, does that go together?
Rye and chocolate? Yeah. That's what Germany and Austria was built on.
Yeah.
Rye and chocolates. Yeah, absolutely.
So are you going to do like a dessert type of bread? Have you done one?
I did recently. Remember, I did the raisin and cinnamon raisin bread.
Okay,
and that was a nice treat.
Yeah,
yeah, that was good. But the bread was almost too hearty. Like it was this real kind of like what I make most of the time. This like bigger country loaf. It almost feels like cinnamon raisin needs like a lighter,
right?
A lighter bread.
Are you going to go sea salt? Have they figured out a way to get sea salt into bread yet?
Sea salt's in every one of my breads, but not like in big chunks of it.
Yeah.
Not like you would a sea salted chocolate.
Caramel sea salt bread. That's what you got to jump in on.
I'm a little upset that I won't be cooking for Christmas, but I'll cook leading up to it, I suppose.
Yeah, because you're not doing the fishes.
I'm not doing the fishes, which is making me very, very upset.
So what else are you going to do? Do you have any, besides this train that you're only going to see for a few days?
What do you mean a few days? It's already been up since Thanksgiving.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's like it's almost over. So you're looking for all this stuff. What are you going to do in New York? Is it family stuff? Is there Tom stuff going on?
It's all family stuff.
No movies? No shows?
We're going to go to a show. We're going to go see King Kong, which my friend said was surprisingly great on Broadway. They say the effects are insane.
I think I know how it ends, though.
What do you mean?
It's not a real secret. It's kind of a 100-year-old movie.
What do you mean?
The ape comes into the crowd and kills everybody.
Oh, that'd be fun. And I wouldn't have to go do the rest of the
Tom, you're going to watch episodes. Somebody sing about there's somebody that's going to get grabbed by a big hand and they're going to go.
What am I going to do? Go to Chicago? Go see Harry Potter, SpongeBob?
Oh, no, Matilda. King Kong. I was only here for. They just start singing.
Where's the monkey? Where's the monkey? Where's the monkey now?
He's on the building with the helicopters.
And then she comes out for her solo. I don't know why I love him so. Kong, Kong, Kong.
You know that's almost going to be better than... There's no way you can not laugh when they start doing that.
Yeah, when I know. You're in there. I might have to get a vape pen before I go.
What about... This is the thing that's disappointing to me. We get you fired up for Dylan and Springsteen, and then when I come back a week later, it's King Kong on Broadway.
I know. But I looked into going to see Dylan, and I had shows, and I was like,
yeah.
It wasn't worth it to bail on my shows to go see him.
Oh, yeah, no.
And then I went to... Oh, and Adam... from the Comedy Store, who says hello, by the way. He was asking about you the other day. He said to say hi. I'm thinking about going to see Dylan. People say he's the best he's ever been. He's like, I hate hearing that. No, he's not. 75 years old.
Selling
whiskey on his website. No, he's not.
I'll take Ringo and Joe Walsh over Adam from the Comedy Store.
I don't know. He's a big music fan. And, you know, Joe Walsh and Ringo are kind of old. I'm sure it's a better concert than normal for Dylan, but better than ever, probably not. But anyway, it wasn't enough for me to pull the trigger, so I didn't
right.
do it. I looked at Springsteen once, and it was so expensive that my computer just seized up and shut itself.
I may see one legendary person Sunday, maybe, that might be on your list.
Paul Simon?
No, I already saw him. And I haven't seen a concert in a couple months, probably. But this is an annual one. It's like something for toys for charity.
Toys for Tots.
Stevie Wonder.
Ooh, that's a great one.
Gotta see him, right?
Gotta see him, and he'll be great. It will be great.
It's not too expensive. It's in Staples Center this year.
Give yourself a little Christmas present.
Well, yeah, it's not too bad, and it used to be in this smaller theater, because he does it every year for charity, and then it's so big now that it's in Staples Center, which isn't as intimate as the smaller theater, but the tickets will be cheaper, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think you should definitely do it.
Yeah, you gotta see Stevie.
Yeah, oh, he's gonna be great.
He still sounds great.
I know, that's the thing. I saw him on something recently. And it was very impressive.
That makes me feel good whenever I see like one of those dumb singing shows and somebody tries to sing a Stevie Wonder song, they can't even come close. It's just
I know.
He's such a he's the only guy that can sing those songs.
Yeah, he's a giant. That's a good one. I would go see that. But King Kong, you know, you look at Broadway, you want to bring the kids. What am I going to go see? Harry Potter?
Probably. I bet by this time next year you have seen it.
The thing with Harry Potter is you've got to see two... There's actually two plays going on at the same... Two musicals.
Uh-huh.
One's 2 hours long. Then you go for a break and then come back and watch the second one that's 2 hours long.
Okay.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, my God.
It's a whole day of Harry Potter. I'm sure it's great. I'm sure, like, if you like Harry Potter, you're going to really like it, but, you know.
Oh, my goodness. I guess you can't feel bad for those people. Did you ever at any point want to do a Broadway show?
To be on Broadway?
Like, as an actor.
Yeah.
Like, you did plays in the beginning, and then you're like, this will be fun to do it, even though... You're not going to make a ton of money to be involved in like a big name production. That's what I think about when they say 4 hours imagine the rehearsal and the time that they're spending. Like, those people are exhausted.
Hard work.
Yeah.
Less money than most things in show business. That's why my friend's mom always said that the Tony Awards were the best thing to watch, because they really, really cared.
Yeah.
They really sacrifice and work harder to be there. And that award show is, it's just so much more heartfelt. I get that.
But they're almost like circus performers at that point. They're just like...
I would like to do a play, though. A play would be fun.
Yeah.
But not a musical. I went out for a musical once when I was in college. I went out for Little Shop of Horrors. And I got the role of the plant. And it wasn't even to voice the plant. It was just to puppeteer the plant. So I would just sit inside this gigantic plant, which was literally 1,000 degrees, and just sweat my ass off and move this thing around to somebody else talking and singing.
You didn't do the "I'm a mean green mother from outer space."
I moved the mouth up and down for that part. And some guy was on a microphone in the wings singing.
That's the only line I know from that.
It was bad. I went into the audition thinking I was going to get it. I tried. I tried to go for whatever the lead, Seymour.
Mm-hmm.
I went for it.
Feed me, Seymour.
Yeah, I went for the Seymour part. I wasn't too nerdy and glassy.
Yeah, that'll be good. I mean, that's the thing is, like, if you move back to New York, you'd have to do something like that to stay busy.
To stay alive.
I mean...
I would love to do a play. Plays are great. I like being part of the theater. All of that is... It's a very cool experience. My daughter just got into doing it, and you could just tell, like, the experience of being with a group of people and putting on a show and that whole experience. She's really like, "Oh man, I found something. This is great," and I totally get it. It's a cool community to be a part of, and especially as a comedian, you're running around solo your whole life. It's nice to kind of be around some other people once in a while until they get annoying.
Yeah, that was interesting when you were talking about that on Rogan yesterday. I heard that part about the when you see a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one thing that I it is funny when you almost see any kind of comedian in the world.
Uh-huh.
And you're heading to a gig, they can almost like sniff it out. Like
right.
The late great Harry Anderson, remember from Cheers? He was like, I forget what airport it was, but I just ran into him and I was like, "Oh, Harry, I'm Paul. I'm a comic. I'm just coming back from a gig." And he like lit up and he was like, you know, he was with his wife, but he was like, "Hey, have a seat. Where'd you play? How was it?" You know, just like really got into it because it was like, wow, that's it's almost like, you know, two pilots meeting in the airport, like, "Hey, where are you going?"
Yeah, it completely is. That's why I'm very suspicious of comedians who are mean. Did you hear me tell this story about when I was in Colorado and I was doing a corporate gig and there was another comic on who I knew? Like, just, you know, we knew each other. I never hung out, but I knew who he was. And he just, I think because he bombed, might have been part of it, but he just split. He just left.
Right.
And like we're in Colorado in a mountain, like, we don't know anybody.
Right.
If another comedian walks in, well, all right, let's just sit for a bit and
hang
make
out.
It seem normal. And he just split, went back to his room, and that was it. I was like, "Ooh, this is a bad dude. I don't like this guy at all."
Chick problems maybe or something.
An excuse.
Yeah.
Not an excuse. Not an excuse. Or you say, "Hey man, I'm not going to hang tonight," or you know, we're not looking to go light it up. You know, we're just, you know, there's the common bond that you have with a comedian, and you embrace them like, you know, like you would an astronaut who just came aboard the space station. You're like, "Hey, we're here," and this guy just, but this guy was always kind of wormy. He's a New York guy,
and. Well, that was the one I didn't go to.
Right? He was always kind of that way.
Yeah, I said that was the one that I didn't go to. That wasn't the haunted one, was it?
No, this was a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I was, but once that happens, you're like, "Okay, I know what that guy's made of."
Right.
You know, all right. put him on the on that list.
Yeah, because there's, you know, there's even guys like, that's the funny thing is, you know, being at my level, there's certain people who know me, and then, you know, there, a lot of times you can tell, like, they don't know you from anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you'll see guys, like, I used to see guys in New York City, and then when I was on the road, they would be, like, super nice to me. And then when you get back in the city, it's like you don't exist anymore. Because it was like,
right.
I only have to talk to the important comedians.
Yeah, you're with the cool kids.
Yeah, it's like the Comedy Cellar thing about being at the table and that kind of stuff. It's like, oh.
All right, you know, before we go, a lot of times people say that as comedians, we should know a lot of jokes. And we don't really know a lot of these jokes because they're terrible. But we like to read them to you from the internet to prove our point that we're funnier. just a little speed round and we'll get out of here. Ready?
Okay.
Why does Santa always come through the chimney?
I don't know.
Because he knows better than to try the back door. Why was the snowman smiling?
I don't know.
He could see the snowblower coming down the street. What do priests and Christmas trees have in common?
I don't know.
Their balls are just ornamental. It's a long way to go.
Me too, Tom. Me too.
Why doesn't Santa have kids of his own?
I don't know.
He only comes once a year.
Jeez, this is getting
a little racy.
I think there needs to be some kind of like a human resources meeting before these.
All right, well, that's it. We got to go. There's a lot of shopping to be done.
Yeah, New York Tom. That's what we're calling him now.
Choo-choo. See you in New York. See you this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Saturday, Friday, Saturday, and Monday. What else are we going to do? And I'll do all my Christmas shopping online. All right, that's it, everybody. Enjoy your life.